Coming up on Patriots This Week, the Patriots had their own holiday list in Houston. Welcome old friends. Check. Get Gronk off the shelf. Check. Win the game. Check.
You know, we played, a solid game here tonight in all three phases.
The defense proved that everything is big in Texas by coming up huge.
Pressure to get by Jared, who spins into the earth, and the ball is out. Loose inside the 10, and the Patriots have it. Malcolm Brown recovers.
Defense played incredibly.
And Rob Gronkowski proved he was once again ready for prime time.
I always want to be back out there with my teammates. I'll be back out there playing football.
The Pats won't forget to remember the Titans.
Definitely have to prepare well.
It's on to the Titans for us.
This is Patriots This Week.
Sunday night in Houston, Gronk came back. The Patriots got back on the winning track, and a day later, once again, they are the AFC East champions. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy along with Scott Zolak, my radio partner and a former quarterback for the Pats, and a three-time Super Bowl champion in Matt Chatham. And guys, much to our surprise, when the weekend started, number 87, as mentioned, out there for the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski. And no coincidence that the Pats enjoyed a lot of success starting with that second series and a long ball to Gronk.
Yeah, and he means a lot to this offense. The quarterback said that. And he also complimented Rob for toughening it out. And when you toughen something out, I think that means you're dealing with something. That doesn't mean you're 100%. I think ultimately what came down at the end of the week, Scott Chandler was really iffy. He played one snap in that football game. In essence, you have no tight ends. Hey, Rob, we need you today. And you can just see the effect he has on coverage. He and Michael Williams in the game at the same time. Much improved running game. But the big catch, like you talked about, Bob, the 45-yarder, kind of got him going early in that game. Gave Brady the confidence that, okay, he's back to normal. So let's start feeding him the rock a little.
The Chandler issue is a great point, and I think I've been in situations like this as a player where they come to you and say, okay, injury versus pain, you know, and Rob's was not a structural thing, trying to get over the bone bruise issue, and at a time where the other guy at your position is really dealing with something, if it had just been Scott and Mike Williams up for the game, it could have been sort of tough sledding. But I thought one of the more interesting sort of turn of events in the game is, as you mentioned, Gronk is toughing it out, targeting him when they need to, not using him at other times. Mike Williams at 300 pounds is running runoff routes, go routes down the middle of the field.
To chase, yeah.
Exactly. But it's good comedy. Yeah. You see the safeties and linebackers kind of look at as this guy's going
do
by.
We cover him?
But what do we do here? But it just is sort of shows what they're going through right now, what they're dealing with, what they're overcoming. And again, Gronk sort of sucking it up. That's a big deal.
It has just demonstrated certainly an impact in the passing game, but also the running game. LeGarrette Blount establishing the tone early with help from Gronkowski.
I think it's a lean aspect. When you talk about the lean aspect, it's Rob as the true tight end, leaning on that down tackle, helping the double team, and you start to get that leverage, and it's a push. And when you could start pushing that defensive line upfield, a yard, 2 yards, you know, Blount gets up there. Now all of a sudden it's a 2 yard gain. He leans a little bit more, and he's so good at getting skinny, and we're going to miss him here. But I thought it was LeGarrette's best game this year.
One of the things that I really enjoyed sort of go back and review in the film is you watch the linebackers and you watch the off-the-ball people and see how they react to Rob Gronkowski in the run game. I think that's really important beyond just the block that Rob makes or sort of the effect that he might have on the guys actually putting his hands onto. Well, how does he affect where he aligns? And I think that's really important. You watch one of my favorite run plays of the day was actually a Brandon Bolden play that was designed front side. He took one step and went backside with it.
Left, right?
He went the other direction. The reason he does is because of the hard flow. And the hard flow comes from, hey, Gronk and the YY set is over here. It creates a reaction in the other side. That's very important.
Houston tried to move Watt around. How did the Patriots take care of J.J. Watt for the most part?
It was a little bit of mixing and everything. I think there were, four doubles in the game, a couple one-on-ones. They brought the tight end in once and hit him on that trap play. A multitude of things. There was not one specific thing that they did, which is a kind of a credit to them, because it's not just like, hey, we're just going to do this against him the whole game. That they said, okay, you can bring it, and we're going to adapt to what you do.
I think one of the things that was actually kind of surprising, it was weird that they did this because he was wearing the club, that they were still willing to move him around. And I think he was less effective when that had to be his stab ham, when that had to be his inside ham. I think when you have a limitation, it can be better to just stick you where you can work with it and just use it to pound things off. When they move him around, he get caught in spots where he needed to grab
like
and shed.
It's like the Giants are doing with Jason Pierre-Paul now. You keep him down with
keep
the right
him where
hand,
he is.
Keep him jacked, and he's right.
And
that left hand, you lose it.
You're fine.
Did you like the diversification of the Patriots offense, not only in the play calling, but the play distribution, all the guys that were involved Sunday night?
Goes to show you that this team's fun to watch. It's not the same thing every week. That's what excites me calling the games. It's some new formation, something exotic, not even exotic, but keeps everybody alive. There's a lot of action. I thought Josh did a good job mixing things up.
I think this was a fun game to watch just from the it was conservative but aggressive. I know that makes no sense, but the idea that there wasn't a ton of shot plays, it was more iterative, just getting down the field, play after play, taking chunks with different people, but it didn't feel as aggressive, but you look up at the score and net, you're at about the same place.
Also, this team handled adversity well. The previous two losses, of course, led Bill Belichick to talk to his team about dealing with adversity. They had a touchdown nullified early in the game. They come right back, though, and score on that possession. Later in the game, they have a muff punt once again, like Denver, but the defense gets the stop on fourth down.
Defense won this football game. I thought the defense did a fantastic job. 7 first downs, getting off the field on third down, saving their tail off the muff punt, something that didn't happen in weeks prior. I just thought it was good, complimentary football by the whole team.
I think in retrospect, it's easy to understand why Houston's had the struggles they had. They obviously had a nice November, but when you reduce that team down to, can you stop DeAndre Hopkins and can you limit or either force turnovers out of Brian Hoyer, that's essentially the game plan. Logan Ryan had an exceptional game against DeAndre Hopkins. Help at times, but other times not. And that's a guy who's beaten up on some of the league's best this season. So if you can limit them, okay, that option's no longer there. They don't really have the tight end production that they've had in years past. Clearly, there's no Arian Foster anymore. They become pretty one-dimensional.
And when Hoyer dropped back, especially as the game went on, he was under constant pressure, usually from Jabal Sheard and Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks, I thought, is having a great year. He's kind of your unsung hero of the front, but Sheard's really starting to come on and look like the guy he was before he got hurt. And what happens there is teams are going to see that. They're going to start to block him. And then here comes Chandler. Here comes Ninkovich on the other side.
Big week from Jerod Mayo, too, and I think it's important.
Great week.
When we talk about at the beginning of the season, when I look down sort of the schedule, the teams they'd have to face, where you get in, and in Tennessee would also be one of them, these teams that are going to be more run-focused first, those are the games where you really need a guy who reads scheme runs really well, the old-school linebacker, the guy that can play in the box.
Blunt, who had a very productive game, he's out for the year now on injured reserve, and on defense, Dominique Easley, who had the first of the sacks for the Patriots, unfortunately lost for the season.
Yeah, Easley has been fun to watch, man. He's been averaging at about a 30% rep count, so he's not an every down guy, but he's a change of pace that really stresses the guy that gets put over him. Imagine if you're one of these guards and you've just faced Allen Branch for a couple plays in the series, and now they flip over and it's Easley who's 40 pounds lighter or whatever and diving in the gap and spinning and stabbing and counter moves, and it's just a great change up to have, so you lose that element.
Patriots went out recently and got a guy to help the secondary, Leonard Johnson. What did you think of his performance?
Good dancer, very good dancer. Made a lot of plays in the game. It was very excitable, and I don't think you're going to say, hey, it's not how we do things here. We don't dance much, but at that point, you're like, you take all the help you get. You let the kid roll, and I thought, he goes back to last week saying, hey, I was making some pretty good plays in practice, and guys are looking like, wow, who the heck's this guy? So I think he was probably up more tempo than everybody else was probably at 70%, but hey, great job by him on a short week. The best thing that came out of this game is the confidence of Logan Ryan. He was the one that was really in the hip pocket of DeAndre Hopkins, and we all know what we think of Butler. Malcolm's a darn good player. If we get Logan Ryan up to that level, we get two pretty good starting corners.
Well, we've got three games to go until the playoffs, and the Patriots are back in the driver's seat in the AFC East, the champions once again, and the AFC overall. We'll tell you how they got there right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The Putnam Player Spotlight is on Leonard Johnson. It's not often that a player signed on Wednesday makes a major impact on Sunday, but the 5'10", 200-pounder had a big game against the Texans. Undrafted out of Iowa State in 2012, the 25-year-old played in 42 out of a possible 54 snaps, and the former Tampa Bay Buck had two important pass breakups in Houston. Then showed he could dance. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And, guys, the domino effect began on Sunday with the good news that Gronk was coming back for the Patriots. Shortly thereafter, Andy Dalton breaks his thumb. The Bengals are beaten at home by Pittsburgh. And then Denver loses at home, relinquishing a late lead to Oakland.
I think the best thing that Pittsburgh did was they said, you know what, Cincinnati? This is an old-school AFC North game. We're coming to Cincinnati with a visiting team. We're going to own you. We're going to kick your tail in your own stadium. And they proceeded to do that. They were physical the whole game. They turned the football over. They made big plays down the field. Pittsburgh's hot right now. Their team is trending upward. It's amazing that they have a chance that they might not get in. That might be one of your better playing teams in the AFC. That was a big game by them. And a ridiculously stupid play by Andy Dalton. The interception prior to him complicating it with the tackle off the knee with the thumb. So I don't feel too bad for him.
One of the biggest developments for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my view, is the growth of Marcus Wheaton.
When you go back, God, he could be a number one.
Exactly.
20 other teams.
It's sick. And Martavis Bryant, the other guy, they've got three now. And that makes them a little bit scary. Transitioning to the other game with Denver and Oakland, I don't like sort of over-the-top kind of statements. And I obviously watch a lot of film from guys especially that have played similar positions to me. If you look at the game that Khalil Mack had against the Denver Broncos, I don't think I've ever seen as good a game, and I don't think I'll ever see as good a game by an edge player as Khalil had in that game. Yes, you've seen the five sacks. You're aware of that stat. He had a dozen A-plus disruptive plays, half of which were actually in the run game, not just pass game. The most amazing part of this is that most of them were in the second half of the game. All five sacks in the second half. He wasn't even pass rushing in the first half and still got that number. The reason this matters is because he completely disrupted the top of the bracket. You look at Denver, they fall. That wasn't the game they were going to give away. They've still got some tough matchups
themselves. They got to go to Pittsburgh this week. Have fun with that.
And the other little thing, the little asterisk below this that I think is sneaky important is Denver's inability to finish off field goals that continue to hit that last 5 feet of the upright that Coach Belichick was such an advocate for to get it added in. It hits the exact part that would have been air a couple seasons ago had that not happened, good or bad. Now you know it gets kicked back and they are not able to get those 3 points, which would have decided the game.
Is Pittsburgh a kind of team where you're in a catch-22? You want to see them beat Denver if you're a Patriot fan because that aids the Patriots' cause for that first round bye and a number one seed. And yet at the same time, if Pittsburgh gets in with that receiving core, it's a dangerous out.
They're a dangerous out, but where would you play them? Not at Pittsburgh. You play them right here in New England. So bring them to New England. Team, we're pretty good against teams that come in here, unless they're Baltimore and they feel that they can beat you. You know, I'll take my chances with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue because they still don't match up well against your offense, and your offense will be extremely more healthy 3 or 4 weeks from now.
But it's amazing what's happened in 8 days. You know, you look at the Patriots. They slide back. They give 2 games back. All of a sudden, you go from the 1 to the 3, and in a matter of 1 more week, bang, you're back in. You control your own destiny.
Coming up next in Foxborough Sunday, it's a clash of titans, one literally, the other figuratively.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. You folks want to know how bad the Tennessee Titans are? We're going to take a look at their quarterback, Marcus Mariota. And why do I say it's bad? He's going to score 2 touchdowns. He doesn't even throw them. Catches one, runs the other. That's how bad it's gotten for the Titans. A little trickeration out here. And we've seen this before, right? A little wildcat. You know, we shut it down with the Texans. Bad job right here by the corner. I mean, that's an awful job just falling down. Nice catch by the quarterback, though. Give him credit. Our 38-year-old caught one a couple weeks ago. Take a look at him right here, though. It's a pretty good throw. You got the double skinny post to the top, and he sticks it in that backside hole, cover 2. Nice little run right here. So he has the ability, if he sits in the pocket, and there's been a lot of questions whether or not he could read. But watch this run right here. Steps up. Here's your pressure. They got him in man-to-man, and this is where it's problematic. Watch a free safety right here. That's your free safety. He should be cut. He shouldn't even get on the darn bus after this game. Nice block down the field right there. I'll tell you what, it's a pretty good, long 87-yard touchdown run by the rookie. Shut down Marcus Mariota. We should be okay. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. On Sunday, it's the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans in Foxborough. And guys, not a lot known about this Tennessee team. Very young, including a rookie at quarterback, Marcus Mariota, and a team that underwent a coaching change early this season as Mike Mularkey took over for Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah, a team with no identity. And when you're a team with no identity and you're not really playing for anything, you got to come on the road and play a team that's 11-2 against probably the greatest quarterback to ever play. You know, Mariota's a young kid, and I think he's going to be pretty good. But it's just they need to figure out What is he? Is he a system quarterback? Can they trust him in the pocket? I think the Patriots could take advantage of some things because Tennessee likes to control the football. It's some of the same stuff we saw down in Houston, similar, even a little mix of the Denver stuff, a little play fake, get him outside on the edge, hit the tight end in the flat, hit the curl route coming in behind. They layer things on the outside. I think Patriots might be able to take advantage of that.
Well, I know at home Patriot fans are big draft people. We get really involved in what happens in the offseason. A lot of the talk with Mariota was, how is he going to be used? Are they going to try to recreate Oregon and do a lot of the read option stuff? It's been a little surprising, even more so since the coaching change happened. It's not a huge element. You might see 8 to maybe less than 10 plays a game, which is unusual. Really power run scheme now, an extremely young group of sort of weapons with Green Beckham, this is a big tall guy, but that's super raw. Kendall Wright, who had been a high target guy early, favorite target, then he got injured, now he's come back. They've had, full disclosure, they've had some struggles finding some offense, but Mariota doesn't turn the ball over a ton for a young guy, only 19-10, I think, are his numbers. Completion percentage is high, but they really have a tough time going the long, hard way.
The one target he has on a consistent basis, tight end Delanie Walker.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And, I mean, as long as you have number 91 in the game, and with the addition of Mayo, and I think Mayo from the smart end to where you could kick him inside, let him play the mic. You move Jamie around, figure out where the tight end is. And if he's having some struggles, Patrick Chung comes down in the box. They played so much of the 3-4 safety look. But with McCourty having the ankle issue, now what are Chung's responsibilities going to be? Is Daron Harmon going to step in and be your true free safety? And are they going to keep Chung back a little more? See, I think, based on the fact it's the Titans with a good tight end, with a young quarterback, bring Chung up in the box. Let him and Jamie Collins figure that thing out.
In the world we live in now, obviously with fantasy football, people are very aware of Delanie Walker. And I think beyond just how you match him low, which Jamie would be a great option, or either Chung, he's a guy who runs the seams quite a bit. So he's a guy who's going to come into play with your middle of the field safety. So with Devin McCourty gone, Daron Harmon trying to match and be able to sort of hold off other stuff in the seams and get over there and not get gashed up the middle.
He's got to call the signals now back there, too. So it's a big step for Daron, and we'll see what he's been able to absorb throughout the year.
Fortunately, that he's got a lot of experience. Right. They've played so much of these multi-safety stuff. He's been on the field.
Good.
Yeah, so strange to think of this matchup at the beginning of the season. You figured it's the McCourty twins going against one another and no sibling rivalry this weekend because neither likely to be on the field.
It's great.
Devin's out for the pass.
Mom stay home. She doesn't even have to come up for the game. She
doesn't
keep
have
that
to
split shirt
in the jersey. Yeah.
But what about Tennessee's defense? Very quickly, Dick LeBeau, the ageless consultant to the Tennessee defensive coordinator, Ray Horton, a lot of Pittsburgh Steeler concepts, a lot of pressure from the inside linebackers, Josh McDaniels told us this week.
Good luck. Have fun. Have fun on Sunday. I mean, I say that because this is Dick LeBeau, and he's a Hall of Fame coach. I have a lot of respect for him. I love Dick LeBeau. I love the defenses he runs. This isn't the Pittsburgh Steelers defense of 8 years ago.
If we're talking 3-4 weeks ago when there were so many injuries in the offensive line, we didn't even know who was going to start each and every week. It's a good LeBeau week because you can get the zone blitz stuff. You can get sort of the confusion element, bring guys from off the ball, maybe steal a play or two or three. They're not having that issue anymore. I think things have settled, so they're going to have a tough time. But if they want to expose themselves and do a lot of the blitz scheme, good Lord, Tommy's going to pick them apart.
You guys sound confident. Just how much so? We'll find out right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Wide receiver John Brown should get the start in Philadelphia. The Cardinals' second-year player should benefit against a weak Eagles secondary that will be preoccupied with Larry Fitzgerald on Sunday. Find some room on the bench for Dez Bryant. With Tony Romo sidelined, the Cowboys receiver has just 6 catches for 97 yards over his last 3 games. Expect the same on Saturday on the road against the Jets. But make sure Denard Robinson gets on the field. The Jags running back had a big game filling in for an injured TJ Yeldon. Expect Robinson to come up big when the red-hot Jaguars take on the free-falling Falcons in Jacksonville. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
And But as always, we end this edition of Patriots This Week from inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios with predictions, Scott Zolak.
Well, with an active quarterback back there, I think, you know, one of the edge rushers. I'm going to go with Chandler Jones as your game changer here. 34-10, Patriots handle them. The best thing that happened to the Patriots was the 2 weeks where they lost, because I think mentally they've corrected everything and it's back to basic football. They're not going to let this team sneak up on them.
For my pick, I'm going to go the other side of the ball. I'm going to go Danny Amendola. Danny's in a situation where 2 weeks ago he's coming back from the injury. He's toughing it out, much like Gronk did a week ago. Then he has a good week last week, gets a touchdown call back, so the stat sheet looks a little more flat. This week, huge numbers, at least a touchdown. Patriots, 37-12.
All right, it's the Pats and the Titans' last home game of the regular season for the Patriots. And for Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy, wishing you and yours all the best this holiday season. So long, everyone.